and to the solicitor and engineer that should the board see its way clear to granting the application, we will, of course, as a condition of approval, submit the landscape plan recommended by the board engineer. Mr. Obalanis, you are the architect that has been retained by the applicant on this project, is that correct?
Yes.
And you were tasked with developing a duplex for this particular site, correct? Currently, we have a triplex on this site, is that correct? And the plan is to demolish the triplex and replace it with a duplex that you have designed, is that correct? And can you take us through the design process and describe for the board some of the more salient features of your design?
So as an architect, of course, we're tasked a duplex where we have an apartment on each floor. We have a first floor unit that's independent. We have a second floor unit on the fast travel on the second floor. We have a third floor extension of that unit for an additional bedroom. But when you try to put three bedrooms, a living room, a dining room, a kitchen, and central access with stairs and an elevator, when you do the original conforming layout, it really doesn't work. It becomes what we call a railroad apartment, where you have bedrooms, and you have a stair and elevator, and you have another bedroom, and living room, and dining room. Each one's probably a 10-foot wide, maybe 12-foot wide room. There's not much left for the dining, kitchen, living room area. So that's the sort of railroad effect. And once they realize that, you know, it also has a long hallway that's very inefficient to get from one end to the other on one side. Everything is loaded to the other side. And the other factor is that because we're parking on the ground floor, you have to put the access to the stairs and elevator in the middle of the building, which basically cuts the building in half. And that happens on the first level floor. You can't put three bedrooms in one side. You gotta have two bedrooms, bathroom, perhaps a second bathroom. And then you have the building on the other side, and what is left over is for living, dining, and kitchen.
Speak into the microphone.
I'm sorry, that was close enough. But I can do that. So anyway, so can you hear me? Of course you can hear me. So when I realized that that railroad apartment wasn't working because the rooms were, well, the bedroom would be 18 feet long by 10 foot wide, which is not a good thing. It's a waste of space. So what I started to do was, let's start with a basic bedroom, a 10 by 11, closet, a hallway to code, maybe a little bit longer than a code, 3.5 feet. And then a bedroom on the other side, do a, what they call a double-loaded corridor. Then you can fit three bedrooms, two bathrooms, kitchen, dining, all within that one floor plan. And they're comfortable. They're not big rooms. Again, the bedrooms are 10 by 11 with a closet. The living room, kitchen, dining, again, the living room is bigger because it's at the front of the building. But it's squeezed, and you have to squeeze in, of course, the kitchen and the dining area. But that's all leftover space. And they're decent spaces. But overall, it was the double-loaded corridor, which basically pushed the width of the building into that front setback on Frankfurt, which is why we're asking for that 6-foot setback as opposed to the 8-foot or 10-foot. It grew the plan that way to allow for that double-loaded corridor and minimal bedrooms for this town. I mean, you know, you're not talking very large bedrooms. And that's what generated the floor plan for both first and second floors. The third floor was easy. That was a master bedroom suite, but it was really a squeeze play to make that work with reasonable living spaces on that apartment floor.
So you addressed the Frankfurt Avenue issue. Can you address the design process that led to the 8-foot setback at the rear as opposed to the required 10-foot?
Yeah, again, very similar situation where because the stair and elevator and the stairs have to meet the minimum code for egress width and length and stuff, and they're centered, that again created that, if you're looking at it from Frankfurt, that left-hand side to make those bedrooms work. We needed that 2 feet to make them 10 feet. Otherwise, they're just too small. They just become too small. You know, a 9-foot bedroom, I mean, you can do it. But in a location like this, in a house like this, I felt that we really needed to expand those rooms So again, I call a reasonable dimension, which includes a closet and access to the bathrooms, either off a hallway bathroom or one of the bedrooms has its own private bathroom. Again, the bathrooms add to that length, and it just turned out that that's what we needed to make that work for that in that dimension. Not as much as the Frankfurt side, because we have the length, we have a good length, but again, because the elevator and stair were central, that really forced us into that squeeze play for the length. And because the one side is the living, dining, kitchen, that's more flexible than the bedroom. So a living room can be 12, 14 feet, 15 feet. Bedrooms, you know, I question a 9-foot bedroom. And that's what gave us that 2 feet requirement.
And so you've addressed two of the heavier lifts, the two D3 variances. Another variance is for the decks outside of the building envelope. Can you address that particular design element?
Well, it's, again, I know the rule about the third floor being within the building line. And in this case, it's stacked over the first floor unit and the second floor unit. And I believe, first of all, aesthetically, it reads as a complete building. You know, we have the third floor. It's a much smaller deck. You know, it all steps in like a layer cake. So the third floor deck off the master bedroom, I thought worked having it stacked over the top. I don't know if it's worth mentioning having other, I've had a variance a couple months ago for a third floor deck that was over the second floor deck that wasn't within, but I don't know if that counts as arguments in our case. But I felt that if need be, when we say within the roof line or the building envelope, I guess there's a way to maybe trick it so that we can carry a roof line out on either side of it to give the impression that this deck is enclosed within the building. But again, I leave it as open that the fact it was more of an aesthetic decision than anything else.
Two units have garages, is that correct?
Yes.
And they each have a two-car garage, is that correct?
Yes. Correct.
All right. The ordinance allows for either a large curb cut to accommodate one drive element or two smaller drive elements. In this particular case, though, we're asking for a variance relative to the curb cuts, and you've designed two 18-foot curb cuts. Can you address that, please?
Yes. So, again, in my initial study, working with a plan to ordinance, and, of course, once we went past that and saw that didn't really work, and I went to this new double-loaded corridor, you know, we're asking for a 6-foot front yard setback, it turns out that you cannot park two cars in tandem. The lot width is not wide enough to allow for a full car space in front of the garage and a space inside the garage to create that single driveway, the 9-foot driveway. There's just no room due to the narrowness of the lot, a 37.5-foot lot. We needed 4 feet, at least 40 feet. So not having that space to do that, I had to show a side-by-side double space for each unit, and that generated the 18-foot driveway.
So, and sort of like a domino effect, as a result of that design element, we're left with the last variance request, which is the distance from the curb cut to the corner. Is that correct?
That is correct, and a domino effect is a good term because, again, if you look at the site, we face Atlantic Avenue, which we're trying to respect. It's got the views to maybe the ocean or something, you know, toward the beach block. We like to load those public spaces, the decks on that side, and it meets the front yard setback for Atlantic. We don't want to really encroach on that. And then by the time you have the building starting at that 10-foot line going inward, again, when we have a centralized, everything seems to point to the centralized stairs and elevator, that it creates a very symmetrical parking on the right-hand side, parking on the left-hand side, and equally spaced. And so, lo and behold, when the right-hand side closest to Atlantic got closer than the other side, obviously, we're shy. We're 21 feet and change as opposed to the 25 foot. So that the forcing of the elevator core, the stair core, to make the whole building work, that forced that driveway to be closer to Atlantic Avenue than we wished it to be.
You've indicated a number of times that the design process here was driven in part by a narrow lot width, is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
But overall, the building that you designed, in your opinion, is it, let's backtrack. If you designed a building that had less variances, would that be as aesthetically pleasing as that which you have designed, which has a couple more variances?
That's a tough, you know, you're talking to an architect who's trying to be creative, and I like to think that, throw me anything, throw me all the criteria, all the constraints you can. I like to think that I can come up with something that's acceptable, that looks nice, even with some serious, if that's the answer you're looking for, I don't know.
It's aesthetically pleasing.
Yes, yes. And the fact that we have, you know, that's a duplex, there's an entrance on Frankfurt, and there's an entrance on Atlantic Avenue. So okay. I'm from New York. I've lived in railroad apartments where you had these long, long hallways, and it's all loaded to one side, and it's just one after another after another. Absolutely.
You've had the opportunity to review the engineer's report. Is that correct?
Yes,
and you're familiar with it, and we're amenable to complying with all of the conditions that the engineer has indicated, including submission of a landscape plan as required. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I have no other questions of Mr. Pogolanis, but we will attempt to address any and all questions that the board may have.
I'd ask a couple questions. One is, as a triplex, how many bedrooms were in the triplex, and how many bedrooms exist now in the duplex?
That I don't know.
That's, lo and behold, we do have another witness that can more directly answer that question, and that's the real.
We have to have her sworn in. Hi, just your name and address, please.
Darlene Rumbus, 2408 Shore Road, Northfield.
Ms. Rumbus, you
just going to get her sworn in. It's Rumbus. Rumbus.
U-M-B-A-S.
Ms. Rumbus, do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Ms. Rumbus.
So I'm a real estate agent. I'm also a construction designer, and I'm a designer and realtor. Mr. Siri,
you're going to assist in this project, is that correct?
Yes.
Do you have some knowledge of the existing triplex?
I do, not a ton, but.
You heard the chair's question regarding.
Yes.
Existing number of bedrooms, existing triplex.
Yeah, to my knowledge, there was a basement apartment that had two bedroom, and then another two bedroom apartment mid, and then the top was a two story unit, and I think that was at least a three bedroom up there.
That'd be seven bedrooms?
Yes.
You have how many now?
Seven.
So you're, okay, so the count's the same, one less unit, that's all.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
And a much prettier building.
Yes. Okay, second question. You have personnel, the elevator itself. Is the elevator a common elevator that stops at the first unit and goes to the second unit, or is it only to the second unit?
It goes to volumes.
Right.
It's the second unit.
Yes,
it goes through the first unit, the second unit.
Okay. Well, in that case, then, there in your plan, you have in the garage closest to Atlantic Avenue, you have to no way really to access out of the garage to get to the front door. Wouldn't you want a personnel door in the garage on the right side or Atlantic Avenue side? So you don't have to walk out and go all the way around. That the first drawing, the drawing you have up is the one you we're looking at. Right. And you have a doorway going from the garage to that
It says second floor unit, foyer only.
Yeah, look at your notations on the plan. And it doesn't show that the garage in the closest to Atlantic Avenue has access to get into the building without a door, with a doorway. Well, can you pencil it in? You want to pencil it in now? So,
is that a requirement?
I don't know if it's a requirement, but it's an efficiency in the plan.
From a practicality standpoint, set it in, to avoid them coming back for any other reason.
Right.
Try to hash it out.
There's a lot of lines there, John. There's a lot of lines, and sometimes you miss something.
Just to get the trash out, it's behind the cars.
I mean, you got to slap something out of there and get in, into it, so that would be, access is always important. Yeah. Exactly.
Thank you.
Yes. All right, I have no other further, the narrowness of the lot, are other lots in the area the same width? How narrow is that lot? Right.
That's the lot on Hillside?
Yeah.
What was the narrowness of that lot? Same thing, 37 and a half? Is that the prevailing, is that the developmental pattern in that area? That's a speak up, Jim. Speak into the mic, please.
Yes. I believe we've done better with the neighborhood patterns. I know up and down Frankfurt, there are a lot of homes that are a lot closer to the street side compared to what we're trying to achieve. And it was similar to the Siegel residence on the other side, which I believe helped us get that variance for that front yard setback on Hillside.
What is that setback?
It was because it was single family, it was required to be 12, and we got it to 8.5 feet. So we got a 4.5, we got a 3.5 foot encroachment into the front yard setback on Hillside.
You're asking for 4 feet on this one?
Correct. Right. Existing with the triplex is 1.7 feet off of Frankfurt Avenue, which is right up, pretty much up against that property line. Now we're asking for 6 feet.
So you say you're improving, you actually improved the distance of the setback?
I believe so.
Is there any setbacks which you actually lessened the setbacks compared to the old building?
No. The old building is really spread out on the ground. We improved in all four directions with our setbacks. We met the standard for side yard setback and front on Atlantic Avenue compared to the existing building, which doesn't. And, we still have a much more improved setback on Frankfurt and the setback on the rear setback.
Okay. One final question. I didn't hear the words, we conform to FEMA requirements. Are you conforming to FEMA requirements?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes.
Looking at the plan, I noticed that the garage space furthest from Atlantic, this side, is much wider than the garage close to Atlantic. And that's where the issue of the distance from the street to the curb cut, 3.5 feet. Is there any way to be redesigned where some of the where you have the wall for that further can be moved further and shifted everything like that, so that you would not have to have the driveway
Yeah, I understand. I thought about that. One of the reasons why they're not balanced is that on the Atlantic side, we have the decks, which we don't have on the left side where the larger garages, we have the decks that cut into the living space. And we still had to maintain a central axis for the stairs. So that was one of the reasons why it doesn't look quite balanced. Yeah. But your point is that I understand that perhaps with some manipulating that ground floor, that it looks like we have some room, maybe change in the stairs orientation, that we could achieve that distance.
Can you talk to the mic, please?
What I was just going to say is because we do have the foyer for the second unit, it is it's a larger unit. It's a more expensive unit. We're trying to give them a little bit, not that that's everything, of course, but we need to comply, and I understand that. But they have a foyer entering their elevator to not be in the garage, so they can come into that foyer area, get into the elevator, and that's kind of why they have that extra space there. I mean, can we really?
We requested at the last hearing to look at that.
Absolutely. If he's saying we can do it, I'm absolutely. I didn't realize we could do that.
That way you eliminate the variance. And that,
we only are the distance.
Right. Because, it's more of a safety issue for us.
No, I get it. No, I anticipated that because I was looking at the last meeting. We looked at length and something. Working with frequency. And it is work.
Very good. I do have the second question. You agreed to do a landscape plan. When I was looking at the site, and I was looking at across the street towards the beach side of Atlantic, a lot of trees, there's the governor strips, and when you look at your side of the street, it's all cemented, no trees, really hardly any landscaping. So the desire that I think the board would love to have is to have as much, reconstruct the governor strips at the corner, plant some trees. It will really improve the whole ambiance of that intersection and will be, I think, something that when other lots come before us, this would be the first one that we could say, hey, please do the same. And I think it will just improve that whole intersection. So I hope when you said yes, if that's what you meant.
I agree, because I want it to look beautiful, obviously, as you are, and you're proud of my work.
John, the mic.
So, I'm taller. It's a corner property. I want it to look nice because I'm proud of my work. And yes. I've got the house next door that's going to be landscaped very nicely when it's all done. Obviously, now a governor strip is required, I imagine, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's easy. We can put that in.
Look out the beach block side. Those streets really have so much.
Okay.
For the beauty of the street, and I think for the value of the property.
I agree 100%.
And if you can put irrigation in on the governor strips and your landscaping, it always spells, it returns in aces the value of the property and the value of the landscaping. It really helps it out tremendously. So these are all good ideas. I know you want to sell the property, but it's good marketing as well. So would be the case.
Not maybe it's outside our scope of discussion here, but I do appreciate feedback, because when Jay has a comment about this, you're coming up with a potential solution. Look, it's to me, it's a collaborative effort. We're all trying to work together towards something, and I appreciate it. I'm not a prima donna. It says my idea, is it. I'm with it. Thank you.
Any other further questions to the applicant?
Yeah, I have a question. Are you the driveway down
to get the, I guess, that 25 feet, were you going to move it down the full 3.5? Is that the intent?
Yes.
I already did a sketch study. I don't have it here, but it can be done.
This time, does the board have any further questions? Because it's open up to the public. Is there anyone in the public who wishes to speak on this application? Ms. Salata, do you swear affirm the testimony you're about to give me the truth?
Yeah.
Your address here in the
5200.
Okay.
Could you lower the?
I'm not talking loud enough for you.
All right. Now, I'm just questioning. I like the plan. I think everything looks good. I appreciate what you're doing with the corner, bringing the garage over a little bit. With the 18-foot curb cuts, obviously, I live in that neighborhood. Parking is horrible. And anything we can do to trim that back, maybe, I don't know if you addressed it. I couldn't hear it if you were saying it. But is there any way we can do with a lesser curb cut? No, no. That's your job.
I just worry that when a car, 18 feet is really narrow already as it is. When you have two cars coming in, I left that 20 feet, obviously, because when you're making those turns. I know. It's just that when you're making those turns, especially when you have a double wide parking space, if they hit that car to get into space, anything less, you're maybe hitting that. It's just a little bit risky, I think.
Well, I'll ask Roger for commentary on that.
Yes.
That's so, where we get the 18. But you're having two. So what is your feeling on that, Roger?
What personally?
No, professionally.
Professionally? 20 feet makes more sense.
Okay, sorry I asked.
This is,
but by the looks of it, there's still one legal street park between the two curbs.
Well, for now, if he's moving that back, there won't be. No, you need 22 on the street.
Yeah, I'm concerned that by moving, if you really don't, because you're not going to gain a spot on the corner. And in this 25 and a 23 in the middle is a good parking space. If you move this back 4 feet, you're going to lose your spot.
You see, that's the torture we face, is when we face those issues. What's a better solution? Is it the one that's shifting it over and losing it? Or I think the driveway across the street, directly across from the gravel curb, that's, I think, only 15 feet old.
That's very, very close.
I'm really, really close.
Yeah. I don't know that you gain anything. I understand that the ordinance says 25 from the corner, but to what benefit is that?
It's a difference.
I mean, there's really no
difference. If you want that,
I mean, as I see it, there's no benefit.
If you want that no man's land to remain a parking space, don't move it.
Well, that's what I think. Right. Yes, it's a good sized parking space, and if you squeeze it, it becomes less valuable in the center because you're never going to gain anything on the corner. Well, is there a fire hydrant on the corner, or the
there is?
Well, the fire hydrant's on the corner, so you can't
park within 25 feet anyway. Yeah, well, the corner's lost.
I don't see any benefit to enforcing this. I would rather grant variance for the 21.5 feet than sacrifice the spot in the middle. That's my personal
opinion.
23. That's a good parking. I mean, you can park 18.
Are you
following? No, I understand. I just wanted to ask
you.
Yeah, save them time and money by not putting reach.
This is everything backing out this way, so it becomes.
Yeah, so this, wait, hold it. One person speaks at a time. No, it's twice. The DOT, it's my understanding.
well, it's in the city's ordinance, but a one-way street might look at that differently. Keep in mind, you gotta, the voting is relying on opinions. So what's on the table is they agreed to move the foyer, the configuration of the foyer in order to move the driveway back, but that sacrifices an on-street parking space. So
I don't think it's worth it.
I think the benefit of keeping it as is and having that on-street parking space probably is a little bit more ideal. You know, they're 3.5 feet off. You can't have a car there anyway. They can't park in the driveway, so you're not blocking the sight vision on the in the corner. So I my recommendation is let them continue seeking that variance for the distance to the curb line.
Okay, I thought that it was enough. If you moved it 3 feet, it was still enough.
Right, I agree with you. I was thinking the same way, but looking at the consequence of doing that, I think it's
so.
I'm okay with
it. So
that's fine.
At this point, well, then it also will next part of it. The change that you're going to do, go back to the variance that you were seeking, not do the alternate plan that you were working on. And leave the plan the way it is.
Yeah.
For what? On street is 22 feet. Well, people are going to park there anyway, so. Well, there's going to be triangles painted in the street that are 3 foot each, so you're actually going to be losing that 6 feet, but people, it'll be enough to park there.
Yeah, let's keep the spot. Yeah. That's it. All right, any other comments? If there's no other comments in the public at this time, the public portion is now closed. Do you have any, Mr. Kaufman, any further comments?
Just a couple closing comments. As the solicitor and the engineer have indicated, we have a couple D3 variance requests, and they relate to the setbacks. And typically, when you think of a D variance or even a C2 variance, you think in terms of, will purposes of the municipal land use be advanced? And with the D3 variance, the New Jersey Supreme Court has said, well, wait a minute, stop. You have to look at it a little bit differently. And they decided a case called Coventry Square versus Westwood Zoning Board of Adjustment. And there's this one paragraph that I think is very instructive in that particular case that I would like to read. And in that case, the court, and this goes to the positive criteria for D3 variance. In that case, the court said, we hold that the proof of special reasons that must be adduced by the applicant for a D variance from one or more conditions imposed by ordinance in respect of a conditional use, and here's the important part, shall be proof sufficient to satisfy the Board of Adjustment that the site proposed for the conditional use in the context of the applicant's proposed site plan continues to be an appropriate site for the conditional use, notwithstanding the deviations from one or more conditions imposed by the ordinance. And in this particular case, I would submit to you that the design that Mr. Obelanis has come up for this particular site, even with the two setback variances, does not negatively impact the suitability of this site for this particular design. And therefore, I would submit to you that we do meet the positive criteria for the D3 variances. Now, there's been a lot of discussions about the other variances, in particular the driveway width, the distance to the curb, and they are the deck extending beyond the building envelope, and they are your traditional C variances. And I would submit to you that in this particular case, you could look at them as both C1 variances, because you heard from Mr. Obelanis that this is a narrow site, and that's one of the issues that you look at in the C1 context is, do you have a particularly narrow site? And here you do, and I would submit to you further that it would be a hardship on the developer to have to build crappy-looking building, as opposed to the nice building that Mr. Ovalanis has designed with the variances. So, but you can also, I think, look at them in a C2 context as well. And I think there are several purposes of the zoning municipal land use law that are advanced, including the fact that we're the design is a desirable visual enhancement to the neighborhood, particularly over what is there now. And additionally, so you have a desirable visual element here. You have the preservation of lakes, air, and open space, because again, we're not seeking any variances relative to lot coverage or building coverage. So therefore, we are advancing what the governing body has deemed to be the requisite amount of open space for this particular site. And also, again, we're advancing the goal of providing an appropriate population density, because again, the governing body has deemed this particular area to support a duplex. And we have and that's precisely, of course, what is proposed here. And as to the negative criteria for all of the variances, again, I would submit to you that we focus on the word substantial, and we are not substantially impairing the purpose and intent of your master plan. In fact, we are advancing the purposes of your master plan by developing something that's at least conditionally allowed for this site. And this will be an enhancement to the neighborhood and will not be a substantial detriment to the neighborhood. So therefore, I would ask that you act favorably upon this. As indicated, we will comply with all the conditions that the board engineer has recommended in his report, including the submission of the landscape plan.
Would you also agree that the hardship is also caused by narrow lot on a corner lot?
Yes.
Because actually, the lot width meets the requirement, but
it's a corner lot, and so you end up having two front yards. Yeah.
So it's kind of pushing the house back.
Yes, and Mr. Obelon has testified to precisely that point.
Okay. Is that your closing, sir?
I have nothing further. Thank you.
Bobby?
Nothing further. Okay, thanks.
You, I believe you accepted Mr. McLaren's report earlier?
Yes, we did.
Okay, thank you. Board members, are you complete with any questions or anything? So we're going to go move to a vote. Mr. Manos, sir, could you frame a resolution as all are done in the affirmative for a vote on this application?
I can, and I think we could do it all at once. And to echo what Mr. Kaufman said, this is a D3 variance where they have a CNC to allow them to knock down a triplex and rebuild a duplex, so they're actually losing a unit. And then if you don't meet certain conditions, he outlined the law just as well as I could, but there's two standards from the conditional use that trigger the conditional use that they don't meet, and those are the front yard setback along Frankfurt. They're at 6 feet where 10 feet is required, and then the rear yard setback is 8 feet where 10 feet is required. So those are the two that fall into that D3 category. And the other three variances are your traditional C variances under either a hardship standard or that flexible C standard. And those are the two curb cuts. They're proposing two 18-foot wide curb cuts. They're allowed two nines or 1 18. The curb cut distance to the intersection, they were going to move that, but we decided that the better alternative is to ask for that variance. So they're at 21.5 feet from the intersection, where 25 feet's required for one of the curb cuts. And then the third floor deck is outside the building envelope, where it's required to be inside the building envelope. The conditions I noted, the applicant will submit a landscaping plan to be reviewed and approved in Mr. McLaren's discretion. The applicant will submit any compliance plans if necessary, and the standard conditions, subject to any other conditions in Mr. McLaren's report, subject to any representations made during the course of the hearing, and to the extent any outside approvals are necessary, it's contingent on the applicant obtaining them. So that's the motion we'll need in a.
Also, irrigation is to be added to the governor's strip and to the planning.
Okay, I think they, okay, we can add that.
They can send it to that.
Irrigation to governor's strip and planning.
Landscape beds.
Beds, okay. So noted. If anyone has any questions before you make the motion, ask, you can ask me. If not, we can take a motion.
Otherwise, I want a motion.
The C and the D.
Yes, we're going to C and D one time.
Yeah, they're really one and the same, in my opinion. So we'll do one vote, but technically it does need five to pass.
We're going to do, okay, we have a motion and a second, please.
Motion.
Who's second? Tim second. Okay, thank you. Have a roll call vote. State your reasons, please.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote yes on this application. There's a variety of things that have gone on, but the essence is that there is an attempt to meet the ordinances of the city and also comply with the master plan. The developmental pattern of the area is such that the lots are narrow, and this particular lot has a particular hardship in that it's a corner lot. So it actually puts more regulation on this particular lot, and that makes it difficult to design and conform. Please note that it was a three-unit building, and now it's down to a two-unit building, but the density is still basically the same. So we've gotten units, but not in density. But in essence, in between the old building and the new building, the impact of the community has been lessened because the setbacks have been increased. Consequently, that is a benefit to air, light, and just basal visual impact of the area. The parking space listed was in front of the building was preserved and enhanced in that area, adding another need for that particular area, the community itself. With that, the other decks, the curb cuts and so on that were there, they enhanced the building, they enhanced the functionality of the site. Without it, it wouldn't be a pleasant site to be living in or functional. So therefore, it enhances the community as well with that. And basically the CNC, because they had a CNC, which means that the prior building was listed as a pre-existing non-conforming use, enhanced their ability to, with the conditional use, to function better with the conditional use. So with that, and their willingness and appropriateness to work with the board on various things, I say yes, I vote for it.
Roman Zabi Hutch?
I also vote yes. Feel that the variances are justified by the design proposed, which is very nice. And I think the conditions of the site also force a lot of all the variances that are being proposed. I am grateful for the flexibility that was presented in terms of making adjustments, but I think we decided on the best course to proceed. And I appreciate the beautification aspects that was being proposed. It enhances the city. Thank you.
Mike Reason?
I think all the positive outweighs the negatives application. I believe he presented a beautiful new property going on Atlantic Avenue to highlight Ventnor, the way it's being built up now. I was concerned about the 25 foot, but Roger addressed that. The corrections that he was willing to make without putting his foot down and stamping it is very welcoming. So I'm in favor.
Peter Taco?
I'm also in favor of the application. I believe that the end result will far outweigh any detriment to have for the community. I believe that the new building being plainly compliant and much more appealing than what is there will certainly be an asset. Certainly outweighs the minor variances that are necessary. And those variances are basically because of the narrowness in the lot. So the reasons I vote for it.
Tim Coop?
So I was always a little skeptical when you see a house go down and a blank lot. So that was a concern of mine. But, you know, I listened to the testimony, the reality of it's a narrow lot, the reality it's a corner lot, a lot of additional burden. I think it's a handsome project. Appreciate the landscape and the governing strip. I think that it's also a big benefit to the solar system.
Jessica Stilley.
I'm going to vote in favor as well. This is going from a triplex down to a duplex, so we're reducing the density there. You have not only a corner lot, but also a narrow lot, so I think that definitely presents for a hardship. And also makes those setbacks justified. I think that, I guess, having those setbacks is improving the overall functionality of the space. Without them, definitely creates kind of smaller bedrooms, which isn't ideal. So overall, that enhances, I think, the community. That third story deck, I think that also really aesthetically gives it a great look on Atlantic Ave. I do like that, I guess, those basically both sides of the house on Frankfurt and Atlantic face the street. So, and I think even it doesn't even look at it like a duplex. I don't think anybody would ever even guess that by looking on the outside. So I think it's really a great design. I think you did a really nice job with it. I think there's a lot of attention to detail, and I will definitely vote in favor for this one.
Thank you.
Well, Mr. Kaufman, you have prevailed.
Thank you very much. Obviously, Atlantic Avenue is a major thoroughfare. We think you'll be satisfied with this project.
Thank you.
And no one has to listen to the tape, so we're good.
Right. And by the way, everyone, Mr. Avalanis and Mr. Kaufman and everyone, Mr. Rumbus, thank you for your cooperation this evening and your input. Okay. It's an update. The board, Roman has met with Roger, and now we're trying to get in contact with Mr. Rotella to advance the zoning application forward. That's all we have to report at this time. That's where we stand. So things are moving forward in a decent fashion. So with that, that would be it. Is there any further business anybody has before the board? If not, can we have a motion for adjournment, please?
I'll make a motion.
We have a second?
Okay.
Okay, all those in favor? All right, we are adjourned.
Good meeting.